Good morning. Welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, August 15th, 2024, and we are reading from the Big Book, continuing in more about alcohol. The second paragraph. Fred is partner in a well-known accounting firm, and we're going down 12 sentences ending in spite of his character and standing. Today's readers are Margaret D., who will read the text, Dion R., A Vision for You, and Sherry Z. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Alex K., and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 14th, 10 a.m. Eastern are, oh my golly gosh, hold on 1 second, it is, don't have that one. I'm so sorry. That one wasn't given to me. I will try and get it later. But for this morning, August 15th at 7 a.m. Eastern, 21,660. Overeats Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At the Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Sherry Z. to read the 12 steps of OA for us.
Good morning. Thank you, Sherry. I recovered in Southern California, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons who we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only not for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry. And I will now ask Kathy P. in Oregon to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hi, Kathy P. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. And let's quickly just go back to the share IDs. So for yesterday, Wednesday, August 14th, 10 a.m. Eastern, the share ID was 21,660. 21,660. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern, it was 21,661. Thank you to those behind the scenes who shared those with me. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year. Somebody mute their line, please. Someone's unmuted. Star one. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star one to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star one to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. Okay, we are in More About Alcoholism, page 39, and we're going to start reading about Fred. So the second full paragraph begins with, Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm. We're going to go down 12 sentences all the way through to in spite of his character and standing. And I'll now ask Margaret D. to join us, who will read and then comment on this paragraph. Thank you so much, Margaret.
Good morning. Here we go. Fred is partner in a well-known accounting firm. Yep, Fred is partner. Yep, that's what it says. His income is good. He has a fine home, is happily married, and the father of promising children of college age. He has so attractive a personality that he makes friends with everyone. If ever there was a successful businessman, it's Fred. To all appearance, he is a stable, well-balanced individual. Yet, he is alcoholic. We first saw Fred about a year ago in a hospital where he had gone to recover from a bad case of jitters. It was his first experience of this kind, and he was much ashamed of it. Far from admitting he was an alcoholic, he told himself he came to the hospital to rest his nerves. The doctor intimated strongly that he might be worse than he realized. For a few days, he was depressed about his condition. He made up his mind to quit drinking altogether. It never occurred to him that perhaps he could not do so in spite of his character and standing. Oh my gosh, can I identify with Fred? I got into program back in 1987 and in a different program, and I'd been there a year when I realized I could not stop eating, whether it was compulsively or just what I used to call, you know, like whim eating. Oh, that looks good. I think I'll eat that. Or I'm starving. I really have to eat something. And instead of eating something, I ate everything. And so I thought it was relationships that were doing it. I thought it was everything except being a compulsive eater. I was making a good income. I did have a nice home. I can't say as I was happily married, but that soon changed to where I was happily single. And I had a daughter who's very promising, and to this day she's amazing. He has so attractive a personality that he makes friends with everyone. I really didn't have a problem ever making friends. If ever there was a successful businessman, it's Shrug. To all appearance, he is a stable, well-balanced individual. That's where everything just really went haywire. You can ask my daughter, I'm sure. She will tell you that growing up with me, she was not living with a stable, balanced personality because of the food. But the main gist of all of this is being in program that first year, I realized I had a problem with food, and so I joined OA. Well, it was roughly 30 years later, after being in OA for 30 years, and, you know, doing everything I thought I was supposed to be doing, sponsoring, being sponsored, you know, working the steps, doing tons and tons of service, that I realized I couldn't do it anymore. At that point, I still could not get abstinent, and I was still crazy. And even I thought I had admitted to myself that I was a compulsive eater. I knew I was, but I had to in all of those years. And you know, how many people in meetings can nod their head while you're sharing about how, you know, the different things that you've done with food, and yet there were very few people when I was, you know, for those first 30 years that ever said they were recovered.
Time.
And I'll just wrap it up with that. It was only when I got into Vision for You and started reading and studying the big book with somebody who had recovered that the miracle occurred, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Margaret D. in Georgia. Okay, so I'm just going to reiterate where we are today as a large paragraph, and perhaps you joined us halfway through Margaret's share. Page 39, more about alcoholism. We're starting to talk about Fred. Fred is partner in a well-known accounting firm, down 12 sentences to in spite of his character and standing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So what I need from you is your first name, last initial, and the state or country that you are calling from. Who would like to share on this paragraph this morning?
Cara L., California.
Cara L., thank you, Cara.
Wendy B. in Arizona.
Thank you, Wendy.
Alicia R. in Nevada.
Alicia, thank you. Anyone else on this first lineup? All right, we will come back. So I have Cara L. in California, Wendy B. in Arizona, and Alicia R. in Nevada. So if everybody other than Cara could please mute their line. Over to you, Cara. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Susan. This is Cara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I love this paragraph because, you know, it's the description of the person that has everything. Looks like they're, you know, and that's everything I strive to be like on the outside. This is everything. I'll just be everything to everybody. I'll do everything perfectly and my life will look great. Behind the scenes, you know, not so much, right? And when I was younger, you know, I could diet. I could, you know, eat a little crazily and then the next day diet, right? I could do all those things. Until one day, I looked at my husband and I said, I don't know what's wrong. I just can't diet anymore. It had never even occurred to me that I would be unable to drop weight when I wanted to until I couldn't. And then it was the cycle of get up in the morning with firm resolution, eat a diet breakfast, continue to compulsively eat the rest of the day, go to bed with this resolution of that I would do better the next day. Tomorrow would be the day. And I would be demoralized and say, tomorrow's the day. And I'd get up. I'd have that firm resolution. And I'd eat that diet breakfast. And then I would continue to eat the rest of the day. It just had never occurred to me. Every night when I went to bed, I thought I could do it. And it wasn't until I worked these steps with a heart that said, I give up. I don't know what I'm doing. I need help from a power greater than me that I cannot quantify. All I can do is believe and trust and do what was put in front of me and work the steps. And every day I have to do that because I run into things that I tell myself I should be able to handle. And I can't. And I have to stop. I have to work the steps again and say, I don't know how to do this, God. I need help. Please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And just take each situation that I think that I should be able to handle and remember to stop and ask for help. Do the work. Be of service. You know, sometimes it's just in the morning, God, for this 24 hours, can you just guide me? Show me the way. Help me get to the next 24 hours in my day. Because I really don't know.
That's time.
With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cara L. in Long Beach, California. Next, we're going to go to Arizona. Good morning, Wendy B. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, Fred, he looked good on the outside. You know, he looked successful. You know, his family, home life looked presentable. People liked him. He appeared stable and well-balanced. I mean, his disease wasn't showing up on the outside. And, you know, he thought he had it all together, you know, and he didn't need help. And he was offended, you know, that the doctor said he might be worse than he realized. And, you know, he didn't want to be like, you know, those gutter drunks. You know, he had an image to uphold, you know. He can, and I can relate to, you know, his not having a low bottom, you know, not experiencing the consequences of, you know, irresponsible choices that, you know, sometimes accompany our disease. And, you know, I had a high bottom. You know, I didn't experience morbid obesity or diabetes or all the negative things that go along with it. You know, I could deny my problem too. You know, I just had some excess weight to lose, you know, and I was uncomfortable in my body, but it wasn't extreme. You know, I could handle it, you know, with diets, you know, until they stopped working, you know, and Fred eventually hit his bottom and asked for help. And I did too. You know, I was able to see where the disease would take me, you know, if I continued on that projected path, you know, and I decided I was done. You know, in this program, we have the option, you know, to get off that train, you know, and ask God for help, you know, at any point. You know, we don't have to go all the way, you know, to the train wreck, you know. And I just am very grateful for Fred's example of having a low bottom, you know, but still knowing he has the disease. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Wendy B. in Arizona. Next, we're going to go to Nevada. Good morning, Alicia R. Please join us.
Hi, thank you so much, Alicia, from Nevada, compulsive overeater. Really grateful to be here today, grateful to be participating in my recovery. Says he was positive that this humiliating experience plus the knowledge he had acquired would keep him sober the rest of his life. Self-knowledge would fix it. And my experience with that is, you know, I came into OA through a different food program, and I learned a lot in that food program. I learned how to weigh and measure. I learned what a portion size was. I learned the ingredients that are my red foods today. And when that program stopped working for me, meaning I got physically ill and could not follow the food plan that was required in that program in order to be abstinent, I said, okay, thank you for the information. I'm good now. You know, I did attempt to find a medical abstinence sponsor, but I, you know, again, I kind of just got to the point where I was like, okay, well, I know what I'm doing now, and I'm cured, right? Thank you for the information. I was a little bit past the point where Fred is here. It talks about, you know, Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, much less accept a spiritual remedy for his problem. I knew I needed a spiritual remedy, you know, but I wasn't. It was a brand new relationship that I had developed in that short period of time with a higher power that wasn't the group, because the group was my higher power for a long time, until I needed something bigger than that, right? And so I guess in a way, actually, I was right there like Fred. I wasn't willing to fully rely on God, right? I was going to take the information I had and I was going to do it on my own. And that lasted, I think, a few weeks at best. And then I ended up in the hospital a few months after that, of trying to do it on my own, right? With that self-knowledge. I knew my problem. I knew the solution. I can do it on my own. No, I can't. You know, I need everyone in this program. I need these meetings. This is where I hear my higher power. Sometimes I get that quiet voice in my morning meditation, but this is where my higher power speaks to me. This is what keeps me in my truth about my disease and my truth about, or the truth about the solution. I think that's all I have today. Thank you so much for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Alicia R. in Nevada. Okay. So again, if this is your third day to share, we would love to hear from you. Page 39, we're reading about Fred, the first 12 sentences in the paragraph starting Fred is partner in a well-known accounting firm, through to in spite of his character and standing. Who would like to share their experience with us?
Della Jean.
Della Jean, and where are you calling from, Della Jean?
Idaho.
Thank you. Everyone's very quiet this morning. Either there's an issue with star one or everyone's lost for words. Anyone else like to join Della Jean?
Mackenzie in Wisconsin.
Okay, Mackenzie in Wisconsin, but there was somebody else.
Dina A. New Jersey.
Sorry, your first name cut out?
Dina.
Dina.
Yes.
Great. Anybody
Pam
else
B.
like to... Pam B. And Pam, where are you calling from?
California.
Thank you.
Janice K.
All right. Janice K. Okay, Janice, where are you calling from this morning?
Oregon.
Oregon.
Deborah L.T. from beautiful Naples, Florida.
Thank you, Deborah. We'll take one more. Anybody else in this lineup? All right, we'll pause there. So I have Della Jean, Mackenzie, Dina J, Pam B, Janice K, Deborah LT. So if everybody other than Della Jean could mute their line. Della Jean, go ahead, please.
I'm Della Jean. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I'm trying to stay on my food plan while working toward a healthy body weight. I came into OA the first time over 46 years ago, and I've been in and out. Today is my 11th day on my food plan. That's the most days in a row I've had in months and months. I would be on my food plan a couple of days, off a couple days, on a couple days, off a couple days. Slowly gaining weight back. 11 days ago, I got a new vision sponsor, and I'm really pleased. When I got off the phone with her the first time, I said, I'm going to stay on my food plan. I really like her. She gives me assignments, and then I share the next day. I'm really, really pleased. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Della Jean. Thank you so much. Next, Mackenzie in Wisconsin. And Mackenzie, if you can share your last initial with us, please.
Thank you. I'm Mackenzie D., compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. And I really can relate to Fred in this story so far. When I came into, it was a different program, but when I came into a 12-step program for food, I was working full-time in a well-paying job. In fact, I was like the primary breadwinner in my home. My husband and I had just purchased a new house. I had two young kids. And from the outside, everything looked good. And I thought that people perceived me to kind of have my stuff together. But behind closed doors, I was binging and purging 5 or 6 times a day, every single day, 7 days a week, and it had been like that for years and years. But I really believe if I made a sincere effort to stop that I could. You know, I just told myself that, like, you know, I haven't had time to really focus on my recovery, and I would start, and then, like, oh, some big work project came up, and I'd set it aside because that was more important. But I really believe that if I gave it my best effort, that I could do it. And that had worked for me in different areas of my life. If I gave something my best effort, that I could pull some things off. Not everything, but some lot. And so I got into this 12-step recovery program, and I really gave it my 100% best effort on my power. And I used all the tools, and I was doing everything every day, and I couldn't put the food down. And I was terrified. I was, to my core, absolutely terrified, because it was the first time in my life that I realized, oh my goodness, I can't do this. And I heard on a podcast not too long ago, it was an AA thing, but it said, you know, never rob an alcoholic of his last drink. And that kind of clicked with me, because it's like, you know, I never rob a food addict of their last binge. And you know, and as horrible as that was, that terrible, like, bone rattling fear that I had, because I finally realized I couldn't do it by myself, it was the greatest blessing I ever had, because it's when I truly admitted, you know, I had said, oh yeah, I'm powerless, but that was like reading the words or believing it in my head. But it took that complete fear and that powerlessness after I gave it my best and failed, that I really took that step one in my heart. And that's where, you know, I finally started to move into recovery. And so I'm grateful for that. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mackenzie in Wisconsin. Next, we're going to go to New Jersey. Good morning, Dina J.
Hi, good morning, Dina A., New Jersey. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for running this meeting and for being on this meeting day after day as I listen. And I'm grateful to be on live and be able to share today. For me, that's accepting a spiritual remedy for this program, doing the thing that I might not really want to do, and that I've done for so long, which is exactly the same as Fred. Like, no, I got this. I can do this. First thinking, I'm not really a compulsive eater, spending my whole first year in program trying to figure out that I'm not really a compulsive eater. And then once I got it, like, okay, I am, soaking up all the information in program and thinking, okay, now I'm going to do this. This is the next step in my life. It's the next step in my inner work and my self-actualization, meaning I think I can do this myself. And it was only so many years later, I think it was on a vision meeting just a year ago, which is 11 years or 12 years into my program, and I hear, this program is not a self-help program. And I was like, what? Oh my goodness, this is not a self-help program. And yeah, I really need a spiritual program. So I was just trying really hard to get myself dependent on higher power in just that perfect way, like fit myself perfectly into this recovery puzzle power source. I was trying to get rid of my own character defects. I was trying to keep myself abstinent. And realizing only this past year that what I was actually doing when I was keeping myself abstinent was just flipping over to restricting. And only gratefully, slowly, seeing how both are parts of my disease. Both are things I cannot do by myself. And I can't press star one and give a brilliant, brilliant share that's going to rock anybody's world. And the only rocking of the world I'm doing is by saying, this is what the program, how it's outlined, and this is what I'm going to show up and do. And just over and over with so many little things, giving myself over to my higher power. God, restore me to sanity. It's not something I can do myself. I'm yours and I trust you. I'm yours and I trust you. And just step by step, little thing by little thing. So I was definitely Fred. I had a really high bottom. According to my first sponsor, I came in with 15 pounds to lose because I had already lost 10 of my 25 pounds. And thinking, I've got this. I just need a little bit of something because I'm almost there because I've got this. And really, my bottom was not as high. It was a false bottom. My bottom was low because I was miserable about myself. I was trying so hard to do everything myself, figure everything out myself. I got this. Thank you so much. I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Dina A. in New Jersey. Next, I have Pam B. in California. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you. Good morning. Pam B. in California, grateful, compulsive overeater. And I really relate to Fred. A couple of things that stand out. Income's good, fine home, happily married, mother of promising children. If ever there was a successful teacher, it's Pam. And to others, I appeared stable and well-balanced. People would say, you know, that knew a little bit about me and my history, like, wow, you know, it's amazing how well you have managed coming from, I came from a lot of real difficult trauma with my relatives, and it just comes up, you know, when you work in a place for long enough, people find out. And I am an alcoholic. And I remember there was a time when I was very young, my dad was in AA, and I knew something was wrong with me. And I wanted what I saw in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I was not an alcoholic. In fact, I looking back, I think I had a sense of this spiritual malady that, and I wanted that kind of recovery, but I didn't have any trouble. I'd never been drunk. And yet I even got an AA sponsor and she said, no, you're not an alcoholic. I read first or third step to her, and she's like, you're not really an alcoholic. And I reached out to somebody on the line this week that shared, and he told me that he had to get clear on his abstinence, on what he could eat, when he could eat, and how much he could eat, and it just really helped me a lot. He said because I had been working the steps, but kept relapsing. On volume, and I really think that was helpful. Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, much less accept a spiritual remedy for his problem. I believe that putting down the food entirely and then working the steps, because this fellow that helped me out by saying that, you know, he could work the steps, it was ineffective until he really put down the food. And I just have to be really thorough and honest about it. And I saw a change this morning. Yesterday I went to a new job as a teacher, but new place, and felt the same old, no one's going to help me. I got to get that technology.
Time,
anyway, I was set free when I turned it over to God. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Pam B. in California. Next, we have Janice K. in Oregon. Thank you very much, Janice.
Hi, this is this is Janice Kay in Oregon. Fred is quite the poster child. He looks good. And then they clock off his achievements. He has a fine home. He's happily married. Every time I read that, I want to say in parentheses, according to whom? What does his wife say? What does his, do his children say? But that's okay because it's their story. So he's happily married. He has promising children. And he has friends. And he's a partner. Apparently, I think the phrasing means he's a partner in a law firm, is my assumption. He's stable. Oh, really? He's well-balanced. Okay. But he's much ashamed of his condition, and he's suffering from nerves. Oh, boy. Back in the 30s and the 40s, nerves were a thing. My mom suffered from nerves. And I have since decided that nervous disorders, nerves, in that sense, probably mean anxiety, depression, and possibly even shading into milder forms of mental illness. But he suffered from nerves. And there are big signs all over Fred's life that say, don't look, don't look, don't look. Nothing wrong here. Fred is a poster child. I was never a poster child. There were plenty of things in my life that said problems, problems, and I find that one of my deep and abiding gratitudes is that I used to have one coping mechanism, and it was food. Now I have 12 coping mechanisms, and they're called the steps. And I don't know that I am a poster. I'm still not a poster child. But doggone it, I really enjoy my life now. So, and the two big takeaways I have is that Fred was raised in the environment to think he could never fail, that he totally relied upon himself. Oh boy, that's another big don't look. And another thought I have here, anyone can have this problem. Thank you for listening, I guess.
Thank you, Janice K. in Oregon. Next, Deborah LT in beautiful Naples, Florida. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Thank you very much for your service and for everyone on the call. This is Deborah LT. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in beautiful Naples, Florida, and it is a beautiful day. I have a slightly different take on Fred. He looked really good from the outside, but I didn't. I didn't look good from the outside. I always had a little bit of a weight problem, and then as I dieted my way up the scale, a lot of bit of a weight problem. So I was waving the flag of I have a problem pretty hard, but at the same time, I had a very vibrant personality and a pretty vibrant inner life that I was able to express in words that amused other people. So I had this thing going on where I looked like I had a big problem, and I did have a big problem, but I also looked like I didn't have a problem. So everyone around me was reconciling that as best they may, and I myself was reconciling it inside myself, putting everything on the food. But when I came into OA and I studied the 12 steps with a wonderful sponsor and listened to A Vision for You and got recovered, I discovered something very important. It wasn't about the food for me, and it wasn't about my weight. It was about the fact that the morass of feelings that I had inside of me were so self-preoccupying that I was a very selfish person. Not selfish in the sense of I was generous, I shared with people, I helped people, I volunteered, so on. But more like I didn't have a lot to offer to other people on a continual basis because I would fall into this self-preoccupation with what I was feeling, what I didn't get, what I wanted, what wasn't happening. And I learned that most of the things that bothered me were because I was looking for what I got out of them, not what I could contribute. I wanted to always contribute, but I was really looking for something in exchange. And people didn't know that that was going on, so they never exchanged on the basis that I thought was equitable. And I was kind of left all the time with a sense of disappointment and resentment, and I stuffed it all down. Learning to let go of that and to see situations in terms of what I can do for them rather than what they can do for me has been literally life-changing. I think for me, that's what meant by living in the fourth dimension, because I don't go around thinking, what can I get out of this and what can I get out of that? I think, what can I give? What can I offer? Is there some way I can help? And it all balances out. I don't need to worry about the scale. I don't need to worry about things being equitable anymore, or I don't need to worry about what I get or don't, because I have a higher power to rely on, and that has made all the difference, and I pass.
Thank you, Deborah LT in Naples, Florida. We probably have time for two, possibly three people, but probably just two. Who else would like to share and tell us how you relate to Fred?
Sherry Z in Southern California.
Thank you, Sherry. Okay, I'm going to go with Sherry for now and then come back if we have some
Deanna.
Time. Go ahead, Sherry. Oh, sorry, Dion?
Yes, Dion.
Oh, okay, great, Dion. Okay, we'll stop there. Sherry, go ahead. Sorry.
Good morning, visionaries. Thank you, Susan, and everyone for doing service. I'm Sherry Z in Southern California, or some across the pond, Sherry Z. It's a lot of, well, I can speak for me. It was a lot of work for me to try to appear so perfect and so unbothered and so attractive while in the inside harboring this secret that I was compulsive overeater. And I love what it says. The doctor, you know, intimated strongly that he might be worse than he realized. When I was trying so hard to be perfect and think everybody thought I was perfect, I started to believe the lie. It's not that bad. And that's where the rationalizations and excuses came in. It's not that bad. I'm not that bad. I'm not like that person. And I would find myself walking down the street and comparing myself, you know, is she fatter than me? Is she thinner than me? Like completely comparing at people's external. I had no idea if their level of serenity was so different from mine, because I was working so hard at being perfect and appearing like it was so easy. And one of the freedom of coming into vision and working these steps is I don't have to work. I am really okay with people seeing my humanity, so much so that the other day I said something like, oh my God, I'm just so, you know, human. And the woman says to me, God, I love just how real you are. And I wanted to burst out laughing. That was like the opposite of me prior to recovery. And the realization that I could believe my own lies and that I had come to believe them was ultimately the insanity that got me into the room, that got me into vision. And I just want to share that I came into OA 35 years ago. It has been a long, incredible journey. And today I live with freedom, neutrality, peace, honesty, and I'm real. I'm real with people. That is a far bigger gift than I ever thought was behind the food. So if you're struggling, it's worth it, because who knows what the gifts are in store. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z or Z, depending where you're from in California. Next up, Dion R. Go ahead, Dion.
Hi, good morning. Thank you all for your shares, and so inspiring. so helpful. This is Dion R. from Georgia. Just being grateful, and what I'm hearing is like arrangement, a bouquet of arrangements of how food affects different ones, and especially me. I can identify. That's what I love hearing the share, because it always reminds me of something. You know, they always say, look for the similarities. I came in here looking for the difference. Why are they in here? They skinny. Why are they in there? They skinny and blonde. You know, it's like, what? It doesn't make sense. But coming in with my mouth, big mouth, they allowed me to just learn and be quiet and slowly absorb and see that we all have pain. And that's what I'm hearing is like, it was so much pain that brought us here, and we're more alike than we are different. And but I was taught that was the culture, that was the environment. Judge people how they look. Get that good, nice house, that car, that good husband, that this, that, and you'll be happy. Well, been there, done that, checked that, and was not happy. You know, not to say it was the people or the car or anything in the neighborhood. It was me. I hadn't fixed me. I had to work on me and lovely people through this big book. I like look good. I was like afraid. Yeah, look good on the outside. And tore emotionally from the floor, you know, in my head. It was just, everything was wacky, but I had to make the kids look good. Everybody's looking good. You know what I mean? But like someone said, how do we know he had a happy wife? And that? We don't know. But what I love today, being my authentic self. I got this from this beautiful program. I can be who I am. Today, tomorrow, next, I got peace. We keep us old folks, I mean, us people that have been around, we hanging around for a reason, because it works. There's something in here that works. And I, even if I can't explain it today in anybody's terms, I do know it works. And it saved my body and many others' body, mind, and spirit. So that's why, I don't know, judging never gets me anywhere. But why are you here? It was like, why are you here? You know, and so anyway, thank you. I'm grateful I'm here, and I'm learning to just easy does it, enjoy the journey. Thank you for the light you all gave me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Dion, in Georgia. Okay, probably have a minute and a half. No, not even, actually. Does anybody have a burning desire, a lurking notion? 1 minute.
Addy V in Hawaii.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You have a minute.
Okay. Addy V in Hawaii. This is my first time sharing on the meeting. I am just incredibly grateful to be here and definitely relate to everything that everybody shares. And my higher power got me live on the meeting today, gave me the courage to share. And I'm finding I'm having to act as if abstinence is eluding me, but the more I keep doing what's suggested, the more I'm watching miracles happen. So thank you, and everybody have a beautiful day.
Thank you, and thank you for your bravery and sharing. All right, well, thank you, Team Thursday. Margaret D, Dion R, Sherry Z, Alex K, Leslie M, stay on with these ladies, especially if you need a sponsor. Alex is our newcomer greeter. Leslie will have announcements. Patrick and Kathy. Okay. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dion R. please read a vision for you? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you for your service and everyone. My name is Dion R. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you than to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own health is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you have in God. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. And then admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely be some of us as we tread the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.